Good evening and welcome to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. I'm Bill Trumbull-Smith, your host for this evening's edition, and we are covering the WDIY Second Annual Homebrewers Beer Festival, and in particular, the winning brewer, who is our guest tonight, John Littak, and together with Sam Mazzotto, who's the owner and head brewer at Bond Place Brewing, right here in South Bethlehem, and Ryan Kelly, who is the assistant brewer at Bond Place. Gentlemen, welcome to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon.
Hiya, thank you.
Hi, Bill.
Thanks.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, welcome. Thank you for taking time out of your brewing schedule. I know Monday is a brewing day at Bond Place, so appreciate you squeezing us into your schedule. Sam and I, in full disclosure, were two of the judges at the Beer Festival amongst a panel of five judges, and the DIY's second Homebrewers Festival was held on July 8th, and we had a whole pile of partners for it, but in particular, Judy Parsons and Keystone Home Brewing and Bond Place Brewing were two of the operational partners for the event. And in addition, we had Valley National Financial Advisors, the Stonehouse Group, King, Spry, Herman, Freund and Fall, Deja Brew Cafe, and as I mentioned, Keystone Home Brew Supply and Bond Place Brewing. And we had about 30 different Lehigh Valley home brewers taking part in this year's event, and in particular, some really good collaboration with the Lehigh Valley Homebrewers Association, and many of the brewers taking part were part of the Homebrewers Association, and I think John will have something to say about them as we get further into the program. And John was a winner based on a judging procedure where we had a popular vote where all of the audience voted, and we picked out the top five, which ended up being six this year because two of them tied. And then out of those six, we had a panel of five judges, and we assessed those beers and came out with the winning beer. And the first prize was to brew your winning beer at Bond Place in South Bethlehem. And that's why we have that beer has now just about been finished, almost finished brewing, and it's almost available. And we will be tasting it later on in the program. And in addition to that, there were gift certificates for brewing supplies from Keystone Home Brewing and Arts Quest Cinema Passes and this appearance here on WDIY's Art Salon. And I do want to give credit to second place and third place. Brandon Velasquez and Tim Kiss came in a close second with their Pentatonic Pale Ale. And third place went to Cody and Allison Jaworowski with their Bruges Belgian Triple Ale. And so congratulations to all of them, and thank you for everyone taking part. And John, congratulations on being this year's winning brewer.
Thank you very much. Those, I remember those two other beers. They were very good as well. So it's, you know, it feels good to be in such good company of, other well-crafted beers.
It does indeed. I mean, not even outside the top six, there were some amazingly good beers there. And I mean, I'm personally astounded. Almost every beer festival I've been to, I find it's the home brewers who come out with the most innovating and interesting brews.
Yeah, it's one of the things you're afforded as a home brewer. You can experiment and not worry about ruining a giant batch of beer, you know, cutting up your margin, you know, like, I imagine Sam, you know, he wants to create beer that's going to sell, that's going to taste good, that's to his style. And, you know, he's not going to just necessarily experiment with the weirdest thing at his scale. Homebrewers, you know, we can dump a beer if we have to.
Right. So, John, just tell us, just give us a little bit of your background. What got you interested in brewing? Did you have any particular mentors? How long have you been brewing? What types of brewers do you normally make? Is this one of your typical beers? Yeah, just give us a bit of background.
Sure. So about 2 years ago, my friend Chuck came to me and said, "Hey, I met this guy. He homebrews and he really makes really good beer. He has this really good brown IPA. You got to try it. And he'd be totally willing to teach us to brew." And we had a friend, Dan Keeler, who was also interested in learning to brew. So we hooked up with Joe Kalinowski, and he showed us how he brews in his garage. And the three of us were just, you know, smitten with the process, the camaraderie, you know, and we just wanted to learn, you know, all about it. So Joe, you know, he really gave us a really head start in the brewing, really grounded some foundational components of brewing into us. You know, and I think a lot of people that get into home brewing, they make some very rookie mistakes and, you know, like not paying attention to sanitation. Mm-hmm. You know, if you, you know, are not meticulous with sanitation, you know, you're going to wreck your beer, you know, or it's going to spoil on you. And it's just, you know, there's just some fundamentals that you really need a good foundation on.
Yeah, so having someone guide you in those principles. Did you have to invest in anything significant at the outset, or was it pretty crude?
So we looked at how Joe was brewing, and he's been brewing for many years and, you know, has built up his system over years. And he's since changed it since, you know, in that last 2 years as well. You know, you're constantly improving and tweaking and changing your equipment. But we settled in on a technique that we thought was the most efficient, which is brew in a bag. It allowed to go from a traditional three vessel brewing setup to a single vessel that has a basket in it. You put a bag, you put the grains in the bag, you steep the grains for your mash and you pull it out and then you boil.
Sounds like using a tea bag.
It's very much of that concept, but it's a very, you know, easy, low entry fee to get into that. You know, you buy a kettle, you buy a burner, you know, you think of a turkey fryer, you know, that's kind of the setup and you can get going. And again, you know, because we had a good foundation, we started creating, very drinkable beers, you know, right out of the gate. And the first beer I made on my own was a peanut butter chocolate stout. So I've been using peanut butter since my first brew on my own.
This come full cycle, and now you're winning an award with it in a wit beer. But Sam and Ryan, both of you also, Ryan, you are still part-time a home brewer as well as a professional brewer. And Sam, you got into being a professional brewer with a short spell as a home brewer before that as well, right?
Right, and actually I don't know many professional brewers who didn't sort of pave the way with home brewing, or I don't want to say pay their dues with home brewing. I can count on one hand the amount, you know, the number of people that I know in the industry that did so. More often than not, it is the way you start. I have a theory about yeast and their likeness to spirochetes and sort of parasites that get into your cortex and decide to take over and survive their species, which is why we're all here on this planet, is to survive our species. So I really feel like homebrewing gets that in your brain. And I'm reading a great book right now about this, about yeast and our relationship with them as humans. And I started as a home brewer and very quickly decided that was going to be my career in brewing. And I was working at a bar in New York City at the time called the Pony Bar, which was a craft beer centered bar. And I was home brewing at home, and I made connections and started working at a brewery in New York City. I started interning at a brewery in New York City and then very quickly became an assistant brewer at a brewery upstate New York.
And then you managed to open your own brewery here in South Bethlehem.
Right, and then I hired my friend Ryan. So
luckily for me.
Yeah.
And things are going well, right?
Things are going well, yeah.
Even with all the new breweries around, I mean, it's great to have seen the explosion of craft beer brewing in the Lehigh Valley in the last few years. I mean, absolutely magnificent.
Yeah, there's some awesome breweries here for sure.
Lehigh Valley is really becoming a beer destination. I mean, you can book a tour and take, you know, around the Lehigh Valley and have tons of great beer experiences.
Yeah, I got cocky early on. I saw these people driving up to Vermont and Massachusetts and Maine and out to wherever, you know, New York. And what are you leaving the area for? I mean, to go on vacation is one thing if you're going up there, but if you're going there just for beer, are you kidding? There's amazing breweries here.
Yeah, there's so much good stuff here. Yeah, I agree.
Save the airfare, unless you're going anyway. I mean, I would never discourage anybody from traveling. But
no, and it's great to taste local beers where you are. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. You go out to Oregon and you go crazy with all the good local beers there. But we've got so much here. Yeah, you don't need to go anywhere else. John, so you talked a bit about your initial brewing setup. Any other brewing awards you've...
I have a couple second place medals in homebrewer competitions for some IPAs that I've brewed in the past. One was a double IPA made with rye, which I also had a version of that at the homebrew festival. And the session version of that, so a lower alcohol version of that, also won a second place in a different competition. Other than that, you know, I'm still pretty new to this. I feel I have a lot to learn, and you know, I feel you know there's some luck involved. You got to be able to make a good beer, but you know, there's some luck involved in these competitions.
Yeah, of course there is. I mean, because there were, as you said, so many good beers, and it sort of depends on the day and the mood of the judges, and even the popular vote getting into the final six.
But, well, with full disclosure on that count, actually, I had voted for that beer that you had made. Was the rye.
The rye
IPA. I loved it. Oh, and I'm not a big IPA guy, but I thought that was so delightful. It was so like peppery and spicy and nutty. It was really good.
Yeah, that's one I've brewed several times because I enjoy it as well.
Mm, yeah, I love a rye IPA. It's got that sort of little chewiness to it.
For sure.
Extra
nutty
texture.
And more malt base.
Yeah, and especially this time of the year as we get into the fall. Ah, my mouth's watering. Ryan, finally, John, one last question now. What is your day job?
So I work at Air Products and Chemicals in the IT department, and it really is a great job. And what makes it great is the people that I work with. I'm surrounded by very talented and dedicated people in the IT department, and particularly on my team. They make it a pleasure to come to work every day. And, you know, I think that's all you can hope for, you know, in a career, is to enjoy going to work and work with great people.
And have time for outside pursuits like
home
brewing,
exactly,
and not be 100% consumed.
Right.
Yeah. And you've got some chemists around, right?
About that.
Yeah. you guys are 100% consumed. Well,
it's assumed.
I guess most homebrewers assume being 100% consumed in brewing.
Well, you know, I think there's a fantasy of a homebrewer to become a professional brewer.
Yes.
And I think, you know, what Ryan and Sam will tell you, it's not all that glamorous. You know, it's a lot of work. And I experienced that when I worked with these guys, shoveling out, you know, 400 pounds of spent grains from the mash tun.
Yeah, I agree. So it's a really valuable experience, because if as a home brewer you're thinking, do I want to be a professional brewer, to actually experience it really, I mean, it's a great opportunity to decide, hey, is this really what I want as a career, or do I just want to enjoy doing
it? Right. Well, and, you know, I have a lot of respect for Sam, who takes on the responsibility of opening a small business. You know, he has employees that are counting on him. He's, you know, a family's, you know, his livelihood is dependent on the success of this brewery. And it really becomes a cornerstone for the neighborhood. You know, when I'm in there visiting, I see he knows everybody, and there's lots of regulars. You know, Ryan's, is, you know, the same way, you know, knows everyone that comes in. It's really part of the community, you know, but there's a burden of responsibility that Sam is carrying to make that all work.
Yeah, I agree entirely. Yeah, it's not just a one-off home brew that if it fails,
they can't see me crying right now, or waving,
basking in the glow of recognition.
It's tough to hear, but you know, for different reasons. But it's really nice to have that responsibility. That's the part that makes it worth it. You know, if we didn't have that, if I didn't have, like John was saying to his point before about the best coworkers, I really do feel like the people who visit Bond Place, especially on a more regular basis, but everybody, you know, they're welcome until proven otherwise. You see what I'm saying? So why not just be friendly and know everybody? And they really are our community. And if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be doing it anymore. No way. That's what makes it worth it. And he's absolutely right. Those are my coworkers.
Yeah. I mean, a bar should be a community getting together place. It's not just a place for drinking. It's a place for socializing and exchanging information and not staring at your phone all the time.
Yeah. It adds to the community. You know, there's no doubt about it. You know, it makes Bethlehem better.
Yeah. John, we are getting behind here. Let's talk a bit about your winning beer.
Sure. So the origins of it came from
First of all, just describe what the beer is.
I called it Crustless Peanut Butter and Jelly on Wheat. It's a wheat beer. So it's based on, you know, a heavy wheat grain bill. And I start with a recipe that I was building from two beers that I really enjoyed in that style. One is Bell's Oberon, which is a fantastic beer, you know, world-class beer. And another one from Avery Brewing called White Rascal that kind of caught me by surprise. Like, well, that's a really nice, you know, wit. And so I built a recipe to try and mimic the characteristics that I liked in those two beers. And that was the base recipe, and I brewed it as a wit, And I started experiment with different editions. I did a passion fruit version of it. And I thought this would be a good beer to carry the peanut butter flavor and the peanut butter and jelly, which was not my original idea. The Lehigh Valley Homebrewers Club, you know, they talk about, memorable beers of the past. And they said, one of their former members brewed a peanut butter and jelly that, you really could pick up the aspects of that flavor profile and it tasted just like that sandwich. So I said, well, I'm going to try and do that. So that was the origin and kind of the journey for that. I've experimented with peanut butter, in a stout. I had a peanut butter red ale, and then I moved to a wit, just trying to find a good base beer to carry the flavor profile.
And your thinking being, if those ingredients go well on a whole wheat toast, hey, why not put those same ingredients together
right,
in a beer?
On a wit beer.
Sam, you were one of the judges.
Yeah, and I... Well, I love wheat beers, actually. I'm not super into the big hop beers. I love many styles of beer. There's not a style of beer I do not like. However, I tend to lean more towards white ales, wheat beers, and things like this. So the challenge put forth to us on a professional scale was, do we do a peanut butter and jelly? When we do a batch of beer, it's roughly 220 gallons, depending on the final. We usually get between 186 and 200 gallons. Do we want 200 gallons of peanut butter and jelly beer sitting around, especially with certain flavors maybe tainting the lines? So John had said to us, we don't have to do that beer. We could do another beer. I said, no, there's something to this. So what we actually did was we brewed the base recipe. We're taking some aside to dose, and it's actually putting me back in touch with my homebrewing roots. And this is why Ryan's here, because Ryan did a bulk of the work on that end with John with flavoring. And then we're going to take the rest of the batch, and we're actually going to put it into one of our oak tanks with grape must and grape juice and bacteria and wild yeast, and we're going to make a more funky, hopefully farmhouse, maybe sour type ale out of it. So it was a really nice challenge for me, because it's not something typically that I would do, but it is something that I typically enjoy, and that is the wheat beer base.
All right, and the idea of actually making it into a sour combined with the peanut butter.
Well, that's not going to be in the... We took that aside and we dosed it with peanut butter and jelly. But I'm not joking when I was like, we could maybe do that. And I said, maybe we'll try a small amount of that at some point. But I didn't know how that would go. But the jelly aspect would certainly go. And, peanuts are way more savory than people realize. They're always associated with sweet. In reality, they're a legume, and they are used in many cultures.
Absolutely.
Cuisine.
Well, West African stews, the peanuts are not sweet
sure.
at all.
Or any Vietnamese or Thai, recipes, and many of them involve at least peanut oil, if not actual peanuts and things like this. So it was a really nice, experience, and John actually turned me on to this PB2 with powdered peanut butter to use. So I used it in cooking last night, and it was great. So.
Okay, let's take a brief break. We'll come back and say a little bit more about the beer, and you can open it while we're taking a brief break, and you guys can taste it and give some comments on the original and on what's been brewed at Bomb Place. We will be back in just a few moments.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Baum School of Art, 510 Linden Street, Allentown, enriching lives through arts education for the past 90 years. Classes in art, design, and fashion for children, teens, and adults. For more information, baumschool.org or 610-433-0032.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. I'm Bill Waterman-Smith, your host for tonight, and in the studio together with award-winning home brewer John Litak, and brewers Sam Mazzotto and Ryan Kelly from Bond Place right here in South Bethlehem. And John has just been dispensing the brew that was the winning brew at WDIY's second annual Home Brewers Beer Festival that took place in July. And he's going to open some that was made commercially at Bond Place, which was part of the prize as the winning home brewer. And I can see them pouring each of them out here. The bottle there, I assume, is your original, John, right?
Yes, this is the original. This will be interesting because this style of beer does not age fantastically.
More to the point, it does age, but you need to drink it fresh, right? Is it?
Yes.
So it may not be quite representative of what it tasted like.
Smells great.
Yes.
That's good.
Sure does.
So that's a good first step, right?
Absolutely.
I'll refer to my beer judges here at my side. There's a little subtle color difference.
Yeah, so which one was the original?
The lighter one is the original, and it's you could see the clarity on it, too. So after being refrigerated and having some time to clear up, it's cleared up quite a bit. I find that maybe some of our beers will have a deeper color. I think it's something in my boil because I do have direct elements. They might, what do you call the sugars might caramelize a bit more, yeah. And it gives it a different color typically than a direct fire, but I won't bore you with that.
Yeah, so I'm electric now as well, so I have a coil, so I should get the same caramelization.
You may, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they both smell very good.
On the original, I get a little bit more of a popcorn aroma than a pure peanut. You know, maybe a popcorn kernel kind of.
No, so not a buttered popcorn, not a diacetyl.
Buttered,
yeah.
No, but
more like a husk. There's a huskiness to it for sure.
And the jelly-type flavors don't really come through quite as much on the first one, at least in the aroma.
Not in the aroma, but yeah.
But yeah, still in the flavor.
Ooh. Is there both breakfast? I think somebody said breakfast beer before.
Yep. Breakfast or brunch or even a lunch pack, right?
They are remarkably similar. I'm really excited. I think that's, you know, because of those late additions that you guys did and flavoring it the same way, same methods. You know, the base word is the base word, and we follow John. We scaled John's recipe up pretty truly. What did yours come in at ABV-wise the first time?
I think it was 5.25.
Okay, ours is 5, like 5.1 or something like
that.
So
that's really
I missed my mark a little bit.
Get that 0.1 to work out.
Yeah.
So basically, I suspect you're pretty pleased with how it's scaled up, and even with the challenges you face with a non-typical brew with not being able to put the peanut butter in at the same place in the recipe that you did.
Right, yeah. So we had to adjust. Now, the way this beer was created, you know, we pulled, you know, a carboy off and we gave it pretty much the exact treatment that my original had. So the only difference really would be the base beer, you know, is slightly different and, you know, scaled up for Sam's system. But when we were sampling early, just the wit beer, you know, you could tell, even with the yeast still floating around, that, you know, we achieved a good base beer that was going to be a good building block, regardless if we do the peanut butter and jelly or Sam puts a little craziness at it.
Yeah, throw the Bond love at it a little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
It's a really good base beer, and it's very, what was really cool was it was really close to a base wit that we had done with juniper and it was a
coriander,
orange peel, juniper, and then I put that into the oak tank. So I suspect that this one will have a similar flavor to it once it goes through that process. I just happen to really like farmhouse ales, but this, even the aroma on this base wort, I remarked to John and Ryan. I said it already smells peanutty. You know, there's a certain ester that gives you that peanutty aroma. So
yeah, definitely interesting, and the aromas have really come through really nicely on the one you've just brewed.
Yeah, it was very fresh. So, you know, I think even what's nice about this, too, even on our scale, is we can still, if we had to alter this at this point with the method we use, we could still alter it and really dial it in because we're merging the professional with the, well, and there's nothing unprofessional about homebrewing. You know, it's they're more painstaking sometimes than professional brewers.
Because you can afford to be, right?
Right, yeah, true. Yeah. And it's a lot easier to manage. But at the same time, it's the same method.
Yeah. So the challenges each way. Just so, John, 10 gallons was your home brew.
Yes.
And this you're brewing on roughly 200 gallons.
Correct.
Yeah, so that's a pretty major step up.
Yeah, you know, it is a challenge to go from, you know, that size to a commercial scale. things don't always scale, you know, just on a nice linear path. You know, you have to adjust. And even homebrewers that exchange recipes, they need to tweak for their own equipment. You know, there's so many different techniques and equipment profiles that people use that get different levels of efficiency. I could tell Sam, you know, he has driven up, you know, the levels of efficiency for his brewery, which is very important when, you know, you're selling your beer. You know, my system's not nearly as efficient as Sam's process.
It's really cool. I'm very open to give my recipes out because I always have this theory about nonna's, you know, your grandmother's wooden spoon is her wooden spoon. You know, for my people, it's, you know, the Italian, but, you can make the same beer at different places and it's going to be unique and it might be just as good, if not better, you know, depending on opinion. It's subjective, but I've had homebrewers who did clones of my beer. One particular was a pineapple IPA type based recipe. And this fellow that comes into the brewery, goes into Keystone that we all know, he made it and he was spot on. He nailed it, like totally nailed it. I was like, dude, you crushed this, man. So
that's pretty much exactly it. Yes.
Maybe it could be awful. Maybe you could be auditioning for a prospective new brewing assistant.
Well, we did scale up Ryan's recipe once. It was I said, you know, I got to make one of these IPAs for these people, and Ryan had one that we scaled up and brewed, and it was very popular. So I think I'm going to keep him around for a little while.
No, thanks, man.
If John wants to help that's fine.
I meant as you expanded, not
expanding. No, well, I'm going to expand this way. I don't know about that way.
Not replaced. So, John, you've got a feel. Is it in your plans at some stage? Do you have a desire to be a commercial brewer?
Well, it's certainly something I've thought about. I think, like I said, every home brewer, you know, dreams about that. You know, dreams of, you know, having a tasting room where the public is coming in and drinking the beer that you crafted. You know, I think that's an incredible draw for home brewers. You know, but you got to think of the whole thing, right?
Right.
All that responsibility and stuff. You know, with the Lehigh Valley homebrewers, you know, we've had several homebrewers start their own, you know, breweries, Hijinks, you know, Kurt was a member.
Absolutely.
Jim Yergi, you know, for Yergi's. And
Jim was a winning brewer I had in the studio. I've had Kurt in the studio before, too.
Right. And you know, I could see, you know, what Jim did. You know, this Yergi Brewing is his retirement project, right? You know, I think that is a, you know, a really cool way to spend your retirement. He did it as part of a, you know, a family business. You know, his son's brewing with him now. And I think that's a great
path.
You know, a great path.
But for the moment.
I'm, like I said, I'm very happy in my day job.
You've got a good experience here.
And I just want to keep learning about beer.
Hey, we are almost out of time, guys. When will people be able to get a taste of the beer that we've been talking about?
I believe the premiere is next Friday. We're going to have... we may even put that cask on next Thursday, but John's beer on draft will be on next Friday. But I did do...
Next Friday being
29th. Yep, correct.
Okay, 10 days from now.
You know, the Bonway with the hand pull every week. We try to do a different cask conditioned beer every week.
Yep.
So this will hopefully be next week's cask ale, and then John's draft beer will be available next Friday.
Okay, and it's only going to be available at Bon Place. It's not going to be bottled or canned or anything.
A big macro brewery decided that they were going to put an offer in, but I said no, thank you. So it's only going to be at the brewery.
Right, okay. Hey, and just tell people where the brewery is for the...
The brewery is at 310 Taylor Street in Bethlehem, Southside Bethlehem, beautiful Southside Bethlehem.
And you're open?
We are open Wednesday through Sunday. Wednesdays 4 to 11, Thursdays 4 to 11, Fridays 3 to 11, Saturday is 12 to 11, and Sunday is 12 to 7. And Friday, we do a nice teacher happy hour from... teacher and medical professional happy hour from 3 to 4. So,
okay, excellent. Hey, our time is about up. Tonight we are doing a double Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. So we have another Lehigh Valley Arts Salon on Celtic Fest that's coming up this coming weekend, following up immediately after this. John, Ryan, and Sam, thank you so much for coming down here and being our guests on Arts Salon. And congratulations again, John. And thanks for participating in the festival. And thanks to all the brewers who did participate in the festival. And there'll be another one next summer. Thanks again.
See ya.
Bye.